Good evening, class. Today our subject going to be Old Testament instances of rebellion. That would be chapter 2 in your textbook, if you use your textbook. And our scripture today going to be Genesis 2, 16, verse 17, and then we can go to Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6. And to begin reading, second chapter of Genesis, verse 16. And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if thou shalt eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now these two scriptures connect. This one here we're going to in this third chapter. Matter of fact, as a just good reading to keep up with the lesson, read chapters 2 and 3 of Genesis. It shows you the full picture. I'm just pulling these verses out because they're the main text. But Genesis 2 and 3 talk about the fall of Adam and what all God did with Adam and the commandment he gave Adam. And third chapter talk about Adam's experience with the serpent. Okay, Genesis 3 and 1 says, now the serpent was more subtle, more crafty, full of trickery, full of schemes. Doesn't that sound like the serpent? He was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye shall die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God do know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw, notice her senses involved here, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. My goodness. You see what happened here that causes the fall of mankind. But Romans 5, verse 19, it says, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. One man disobedient, many were made sinners. So man's fall is due to disobedience. Now, let's begin with the story of Adam and Eve. And we're going to try to break it down to our understanding so we can know just what happened with Adam and Eve that caused this separation from God and caused us to begin to function with the knowledge of good and evil. Well, God gave Adam charges in the garden, and one of them was an order not to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The crux of this charge was more than the forbiddance to eat a certain fruit. Rather, it was that God was putting Adam under authority that he might learn obedience. God was putting Adam under authority that he might learn obedience. No, obedience has to be learned. And God always gives us an opportunity to obey. Notice what I said? He wants us to obey rather than disobey. But the opportunity is always there to obey. And we know the enemy, he's a spirit of disobedience. He's trying to get us to dishonor God by disobeying what he commands. But God always gives us a way out. One scripture says a means of escape. So he gave us this way of escape. But notice what he did. God gave man or Adam a command in the garden. And that command was not to eat a certain fruit. They call it the forbidden fruit. But I want you to know that that command or rule, we can use the word rule, or commandment for Adam to go by, well, this particular commandment or rule was meant to put Adam under authority. Just like, for instance, most of you all may have children, and this is the only way I can relate this clearly enough for us to understand it, that when we give our children a rule, a commandment, or a caution, a word of caution, that's designed to put them under authority that they may obey. But at the same time, it does another thing. It tests obedience. Rules tests obedience. Now, I remember years ago, I don't know why, but I always used my son, because maybe he was my first. And you know, you always practice with, you practice with your first kid. The rest of them, you kind of have an idea how this thing going on, but the first one is a practicing feel. You know, you're trying to get a feel of how this thing goes, raising children. It takes a skill, and you develop it. But my son I use him a lot because I practice with him, if you don't mind me using that. When I say practice with him, I remember my wife and I and my mother-in-law, this was years ago. She's going on to be with the Lord now. But my son, he was a little bit of boy. He walked when he was 7 months old. And that was a miraculous thing for us to see, a 7-year-old child. I mean, he used to walk straight on the kitchen table. And we couldn't find him, he's on the kitchen table. But my point is that when he was a young kid, a young child, baby, we had a particular coffee table that was in our living room. And my wife had all kind of little whatnots on it, you know, and he kept messing with it, you know. He would pick this up, and my wife said, no, leave that. We were trying to train him. And my mother-in-law spoke up, and I thought you were trying to run my house, you know, sometimes mother-in-law will try to run your house. And so she said, and no, let me back up. My wife picked those things up, was picking them up, the little whatnot, and moving them off the table out of his reach. She said, no, put them back. I said, this woman trying to run my house. She said, put them back. She said, next time you touch it, you slap his little hand. It's not going to hurt him. Slap his little hand. I said, you don't slap a little child hand that young. To myself, because that's my little precious firstborn baby. But nevertheless, we took her advice. And we slapped her and said, no. He didn't understand words then, but we used the word, no. Don't do that. And he would try to touch another one. And we would just do the same thing, Finally, he caught on and realized that, no. Became his first rule of commandment. And so so we put him under authority at a young age. You see it? Because he had to have a rule to go by. He had to have a perimeter established in his life at a young age, knowing certain things he couldn't do, he couldn't cross. And so I said, hey, this thing will work here. And he got a little bit older. And then he wanted to play with the little knob, a little taller, on the stove. And we would slap his hand. No, no, no. And finally, class, finally, we didn't have to do this anymore. All we had to do is say, no, leave that. And he would just stop and leave. So what am I saying, class? I'm saying rules put you under authority. At the same time, it brings obedience when authority is obeyed. And finally, we got him to obey us. When we said no, he understood no. But had not we applied a rule and a consequence for breaking that rule, hope you understand me, class, consequences for breaking that rule, he will never learn authority. And he will never learn to obey properly. I hope you catch that. See, so God put a rule in the garden. God had two trees in the midst of the garden, the tree of life and the tree of good and evil. He said, no, don't touch those trees. Don't eat of those trees. You're going to die. Well, Adam didn't understand that what didn't mean a physical death. He didn't understand that it was a spiritual death. So Satan beguiled Adam and Eve by trickery, and they permissively, know what I use, they permissively obeyed Satan and broke God's rule of command. You see it? Now let's go on to the lesson. But I think the illustration might open up a little bit for you to see what's fixing to happen here. God had to put a rule in the midst of the garden so he can know if Adam and Eve were able to obey. You see it? God got to know where you are. God got to know where you are, just like the children of Israel. God said he permitted them to go in the wilderness for 40 years to prove them, the scriptures say, and to test them and to know what was in their heart. God did it to bring obedience to them. And sometimes God will give you rules. Sometimes, I remember years ago, Apostle, the choir, we were building a new choir. And in building this new choir, he gave them rules, the members, rules. If you don't come to prayer meeting, you don't get to sing that Sunday. You see it? Because he was stressing how important prayer meeting was, and then it became a rule. Now that rule began to find out what was in their heart, the choir members' heart, because it put them under authority, and now they knew that they couldn't just come and do what they wanted to do anyway, just sing anyway. He wanted them to know the importance of it was to God, that they must pray. And you can't be a show-off saying on Sunday or Wednesday night or whatever night your Bible study is. You couldn't be a show-off because then you're under what we call obedience. Now let's go on to this thing here now. Now, the crux of the charge were more than the forbidden to eat of certain fruit. Are you with me now? It was more than just the fruit. Matter of fact, it was designed to put Adam under authority that he might learn obedience. Rules, remember this. Make a note of this because you're going to see this again. Rules are designed to teach obedience. So parents that have young children, I say young children because that's when you start the rules. No, they don't like rules. I remember growing up. Let me just talk a little bit. I remember growing up, my mom and dad, they were old school. They raised us old school. When I say old school, we used to play outside, but when it get dark, you don't let the darkness catch you. We had to be in before it got dark. And if it got dark, then we knew we was in trouble. We was in trouble. And we had to face some consequences because they didn't believe in speaking twice. You know what I mean? Speaking twice. And some parents, they scream and holler at children all day. I'm tired of talking. What do you mean you're tired talking? You just got to talk one time if they have learned obedience. If you got to keep talking, they're disobedient and have not learned the lesson of obedience, and they have not been put under authority. So rules are designed to find out what's in a child's heart. If you break a rule, that means they rebel against what you have set as an order. Now I'm teaching, so I'm saying more than I'm saying, because I'm talking about children, but we're talking about throughout the whole span of life. You see it? You got rules on the job. You see it? They give you certain rules to follow. Well, those rules are set up for a reason. And if you break those rules, or if you argue against the rules, then you might be a rebellious person. But those rules are to be obeyed until they come against God's command. Are you with me? Because God's command, God's rule, God's statute, God's principle overrule everything. Are you with me? You with me? See, a wife supposed to submit to her husband, the scripture says, in everything until he violate one of God's principles. You see it? There's always an until when it comes to obeying rules, until they violate what God said in his word. So obedience will go further until. I'm talking about the world system government of obedience. You see, but God obedience, God will never have an until with God, because God is always righteous, true, and just. Every word of God is to be obeyed. Are you with me, class? Are you with me? I hope you're with me, because this is a very important lesson here. Now, God wants to put him under authority. God placed Adam himself under his authority, that Adam might obey authority. Now, according to the order of God's creation, God made Adam before he made Eve. Now, I'm about to muddy some water now. When I say muddy some water, I'm talking about, I'm about to deal with your belief system. You know, sometimes we believe certain things, you know, husband and wife and marriages, concerning marriages. Yeah, I'm about to muddy a little water here, but I'm going to use the word of God to muddy the water. But whenever God muddied the water, he always clears it up. Now, I number all my outline, it's number six in my outline. He said these two, Adam and Eve, the one had the authority, which was Adam, and the other to be in subjection, which is Eve. In both the old and new creation, this order of priority is the basis of authority. What do you mean old and new creation? Old Testament, New Testament. It stayed the same thing. God never contradicted his plan. God always dealt with creation what you say at the beginning. If you want to find out how things go to the book of beginning. The book of beginning is the key to hold everything else together. What God first said. See, whatever God first said, that's the way it's supposed to go, because God doesn't change his mind. So whatever God first said. Now, whoever is first created is to be the authority. Adam created first, Eve. God didn't create Eve. The Bible said God made Eve. Adam was created. God made Eve. He took the rib from Adam, and he formed Eve. So, Jesus, this is other statement. Listen to this. Whoever is first created is to be authority. Whoever is first saved is to be the authority. Whoever first saved. Now, what is he talking about? Now, let me tell you what he's talking about. Jesus, the author of eternal salvation. So Jesus is Hebrews 5:9. He's the author of eternal salvation. So Jesus was first saved. So that means Jesus is the authority of the whole new covenant. You see it? It was Adam. Now Jesus is the first fruit. So Jesus is this authority in this earth realm now. Jesus is. Who I said? Jesus is. All right. Now, therefore, wherever we go, our first thought must be to find out Who are those to whom God want me or want us to be subject to? We can find authority everywhere and learn to obey authority at any time. Now that's more easily said than done. Because to obey authority at any time, you have to have, remember we talked about with Saul, and then became Apostle Paul. Saul had to learn obedience. So you don't just become obedient. That you go through a process. So it's easier said than done. You have to go through a process of learning, a process of being broken, a process of being rebuked, a process of being corrected, a process, because you don't become obedient overnight. Sometimes you got to go through test after test. I'm reminding children of Israel again. They went through test after test after test to get to learn so God can finally find obedience. He said, Moses was faithful in all his house. God said that in Numbers 12. That's why he chose Moses. Moses was faithful in all his house. Was Moses perfect? No. But he was faithful to what God said. He did what God said. And then David, you know, he rejected Saul. We learned that down the road in classes past, that God couldn't use Saul. But he found a man, David, the Bible said, a man after his own heart. So now you see that I'm sad to say all this, but we can find authority anywhere, everywhere, and learn to obey it at any time. It sounds simple, but it's more easily said than done. Your heart had to be broken. What do you mean? That rebellious thinking, that soul had to be renewed with the word of God, to come to understand that I need to obey. I need to find out who I should be obeying, because that flesh will rise up and don't want to obey, especially on your job, especially in the home with the husband and wife. It's just children. It's hard for children to obey. Sometimes parents might give stern commands, and they may not agree with everything, but still and all, yet they're a parent. Are parents perfect? No, parents not perfect. Are husbands perfect? No, husbands are not perfect. The only perfect one is Jesus Christ. That's why he's the author of eternal salvation. And that's why he's our example of obedience. Because he never disobeyed the Father, even on earthly things, nor of heavenly things, he disobeyed. So class, I'm taking my time because this is so critical, because you have to learn obedience. One scripture said Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. So do that mean there's some suffering going on? Yeah, there's some suffering going on. When I was growing up, and it's Cuban for keep going back to my childhood sometimes, because that's the only way I can remember. Because certain things, some whippings you never forget. I remember my mom used to hold one arm and whip her with the other. Because you're trying to get away, you know. And so you don't forget those things. Years have passed. That's been 100 years ago. No, not 100 years. It's been a few years, though. I was a little bit of a boy. And she would put a strap on us. I mean. And so you learn obedience through the thing you suffer. Parents don't want to do that today. They want to call children, want to call the police. And the law is so messed up, you can't chastise your own children anymore. But they chastise us where we felt it. You know, talking sometimes just don't work. You see it? My dad made a statement one time. And then my mom said, wait till your daddy get home. I'm going to tell your daddy. And my dad, I talked to him years later as we had become men. His children become men. But we were talking. He said, when y'all was small, your mom used to try to make me whip y'all after I come in from work. He said, but I can't whip y'all when I didn't know what y'all have done. He said, you got to whip them at the present moment so they'll know what you're whipping them for. You see it? He said, I didn't know what I was whipping for. He said, I couldn't do that with a whole, or with a good conscience. He said, but I couldn't do it. You see, so one thing, you correct them on the spot. You can't wait 6 hours later when somebody else come home. No, you gotta do it then. You gotta do it. I don't mean to spend so much time here, but it's so important here that you understand this, and I'm trying every way I can to get you to see how important this authority is, and how important this obedience is, and how important this submission is. And remember, we're gonna find out that submission and obedience, two different things. We talked about it earlier, but it's gonna begin to get a little clearer as we go on with this class. Instead of obeying Adam, now watch this, watch this. Instead of obeying Adam, which you should have, now I know, if you listen to the story, or read the, I don't want to call the story, if you follow the lesson that God has given us in Genesis 2 and 3, I know Adam relayed the commandment to Eve. When God, see, because God gave Adam the command before Eve was even created. So when Eve was created, I'm sure God said, now God gave us a commandment in the garden. And he said, of every tree, look around, Eve, all these trees are for food. And he said, we can partake of any one of them. I bet they had thousands of trees. He said, but there's one in the middle of the garden, the midst of the garden, that God said, don't eat of it, because the day you eat of it, we're going to die. Now, why did God put that one particular tree? God had that one thing, not many things, one thing God used to bring them under authority. One thing, one rule. Don't eat of this tree. And so because of the one rule, Satan just had one opportunity to bring temptation to him. One opportunity. He had one shot at it. So he had to really maneuver his creativity to deceive. You see, Satan wanted to deceive all of us, but he just used all his creativity to do it. While you're sleeping, he's playing to deceive. So we got to be watchful that we not fall in temptation. You see it? Jesus told the disciple in the Garden of Gethsemane, say, watch and pray, lest you fall in temptation, lest you fall under temptation. What if somebody tempt you out of the will of God? What if somebody caused you not to obey God's plan because I'm going to the cross, whether y'all with me or not? Oh, you see? You see? I hope you understand what I'm saying. And look, and so she not only violated God's order, but disobeyed Adam. Now, I'm sure Adam relayed the message properly. To rebel against God's representative authority is the same as to rebel against God. See, now I'm about to get to something pretty muddy waters here. Adam, at that particular time, to Eve, was God's representative authority. Just like husbands in the home become God's representative authority. Sometimes it's hard to see it. You see it? Because sometimes we look so equal in the flesh. Sometimes it's just hard to submit when we both have flaws and shortcomings. See, right in the midst of your flaws and shortcomings, God still give a husband headship over his wife. Sometimes you can't use the flaws to as an excuse to submit. Nevertheless, we should submit. We're talking about godly husband, godly wife. Now the world system, they're in another zone by themselves. They do what they do. But I can't speak for the world system. I'm talking about the principle that God set up in the home as a husband and a wife. Husband should be the head of the wife, like Paul said in the fifth chapter of what scripture is it? Ephesians 5. He talked about that. Husband, wives, obey your husband in the Lord, for this is right. Now, Now, to rebel against God, representative authority, is the same as to rebel against God. So sometimes, back to what I was saying, in the home, it seemed like even though husband and wife don't think just right, they don't think the same, different thoughts, different training, different background, reared one way, and the wife reared another way, and yet you come together and trying to live as one. And so what we got here is sometimes it's hard to submit because we look at each other's flaws and shortcomings. But you got to go back on the inside. Oh, I love this. You got to go back to the inside as a wife and go back to the inside just to know that God has set this up a certain way. If you want the blessing to flow a certain way. Now, we're not talking about perfection. You understand what I'm saying? And so the husband is the head of the wife. Now, so in listening to Eve and eating the forbidden fruit, Adam sinned against God's direct will. Now, even though Adam was not the one that was approached by Satan to be deceived, yet he was as guilty because God hold authority with responsibility and accountability for everything that goes on in the home structure. So even though Eve sinned, Adam was accountable. You see it? Maybe he didn't explain the instruction just right. You see it? And now I had to slap myself when I was reading through the scriptures here, because I struggled a little bit with one of these verses. And because the scripture said Eve ate it. Now let's go back to that third chapter. Turn back with me to the third chapter of Genesis. I want to show you something in particular here that I struggled with. And I pray that God give me understanding because I don't want to mislead nobody in what I'm about to say. But at the same time, that I want to know so you can know. See, it's my job to do the homework, you see it? Now, back in that, I think around the sixth verse. Let me see, let me find a place to take off at with this thing here. And when the woman, you see where I'm at? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight, here's all her senses involved, her senses. And it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be designed to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat the fruit. Are you with me so far? Did eat it. And she gave also to her, now that's what I scratched my head, and gave also to her husband. I said, Lord, and I struggle with this. I said, Lord, Adam specifically knew what God said. And I said, maybe Adam wasn't with her when this was happening. Maybe Adam didn't know where the fruit came from. He just ate it in ignorance. I said, because I don't believe Adam would just eat the fruit knowing what God said. God gave him particularly, I'm saying that right, God gave him particular commandment, gave it to him specifically. And so because he knew the commandment, therefore, it's, you can understand that because he knew the commandment, that he would be the first one to obey it. So here we're looking at this now. And so what happened was, Eve gave it to her husband, and he did eat it. You see it? He did eat it. So Adam evidently willfully ate of the fruit. You see it? But I begin to think, When a man love a woman, sometimes he'll do anything. And sometimes he ate the fruit because he trusts his wife so much. No, I don't know all the facts about it, but it did bother me for a little while. But I'm let the scripture be. But nevertheless, they both ate, and God had to judge them. Therefore, wherever we go, our first thought must be to find out who are those to whom God wants us to be subject. That's the whole end of God's plan, to find out who are those to whom God wants us to be subject. See, we can find authority everywhere and learn to obey authority at any time. The fall of man is due to disobedience to God's authority, God's rule, God's law, God's commandment. That's the whole crux of the whole situation. The fall of man is due to disobedience to God's authority. And this statement goes on to this day. The fall of man this day is due to disobedience to God's command. And when we say God's command, we're talking about it goes all the way through to delegated authority. All those whom God delegated to be as authority become God's authority. And because they become God's authority, therefore God's going to judge them as though he stated directly. And all authority that God gives out, he expects it to be obeyed. And when you disobey the commands of God, the chain of delegated authority, we find out that you're coming against God himself. And that's kind of hard to understand with the natural mind, but God's authority is expected by God to be obeyed. All right? You're with me, Claire? Now, look at this statement. Instead of obeying Adam, Eve made her own decision upon seeing that the fruit was good. And, I just heard something. Now, Eve ate the fruit, and, you know, and sometimes because you eat the fruit, it makes it look like Eve was on this thing all by herself, but it almost looked like Eve, I'm eating this fruit, but if God said we're going to die, we're both going to die together. Well, she uncovered her head, and what head? Adam, once you disobeyed Adam's instruction. Her eating the fruit did not come out of subjection, but out of her own will. You see it? She didn't come out of what God said to Adam. She decided upon herself. So disobedience comes out of your own will. It's something that it's a part of you that not submitted to God. See, your whole spirit, soul, and body should be in subjection. And so if you leave one of those components out, You can't disobey with your spirit. Your soul and your body got to be in submission. So that soul has to be transformed and renewed by the word of God. And whatever, when that soul gets renewed, the body gonna follow. You've been taught this. You know what I'm saying. So to rebel against God, I'm saying it again, representative authority is the same as to rebel against God. My goodness. My time is almost up. Let me make this last statement, and then we're going to close, and we're going to take up from here next week. In listening to Eve and eating the forbidden fruit, Adam sinned against God's direct will. Hence, he too was disobedient to God's authority. This also was rebellion. Glad that as far as I can go now, we're going to take up with this when we meet next week. The class is ended. So go in peace.